a tour in that city. What a sight. How's that going to be when we get to go to heaven? Amen. I thank the Lord for that. I appreciate you being here in the house of the Lord this morning. And for all our friends on the internet and the radio, we're glad you're part of the service. I have really been amazed and blessed in the last several months and several places I've been that I have people who tell me they listen to us all the time. They watch us on the internet. They listen to us on the radio stations that we're on. And then they go back and listen on YouTube. And I'm thankful for that. I mentioned this morning about we have people from distances. I had talked one time possible about people who are so regular watching us that are not able to go to church. Now, I don't want to create a situation where people who could worship, I think it's always better to be in a local assembly, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But we have people in our community who are actually members of our church, but they're not able to be here on Sundays. And they count on this time, the Sunday school hour, the worship services through the week, the special events. But there are people who are now watching us. And one of those is Mr. Eugene Allen that I mentioned this morning. And since his illness, he's not been able, it's been an ongoing thing, but he was just recently diagnosed with what it actually is, the pancreatic cancer. But he said he was not able to get out, so he's been watching us every service, and I appreciate that. I have been corresponding with a man in Arizona, and he is from this area originally, but he too has been watching, and he wrote to me, and he wanted to know if I could be his pastor. And he couldn't find a church anywhere close to him, and he's not able to get to a church. And we had talked about having an e-church membership. Now, I don't think that's the best situation, because I think you ought to be in a church close by where you can be there and you have people to visit with you, and you can be a minister, you can minister to them and interact, do what the Bible said, love one another, pray one for another, exhort one another, care one for another, and so those things interact. And that's always the best scenario. But if we didn't, we'd have a e-church membership and we would keep them in correspondence. And if we did that, then I would assign each one of you maybe that particular member. You'd send them a church bulletin. You'd correspond with them on a regular basis, find out about their birthdays and about things going on and anything happening, especially in their family. And you'd keep the church updated about them. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. But I just want to say thank you for all of our friends on the internet. I open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter number 2. And I'm going to be through right at 12 or somewhere thereabouts. Amen. Some weeks ago, we have been blessed so in our Wednesday morning services, just the sweet fellowship and the presence of God and the Word of God, the great services we have singing and have special music, just like we do in our other services. And then the only difference is I get through right at 12. And then we go back and eat in fellowship. And it dawned on me some time ago that crowd's growing, and it may be because I get through on time. I don't know. But at any rate, we have a great time. I invite you to come and be in the morning services on Wednesday morning. Brother Barry this morning started Sunday school class, and I thought to be sure he's going to get here, but he didn't quite get to chapter number 2. Now, he will. And if you're not in a Sunday school class currently and you're an adult, I invite you to come in next Sunday and the following Sundays, listen to Brother Barry. He's going to be sharing about the beautiful picture of the wise men, the shepherd, and the sheep, and all of that about the star and those things. And God's really given him some wonderful truths about those things that blessed me many years ago and continues to every year. But Luke chapter 2, he started off by saying these are verses we've read a million times. And yet every time I read them, it thrills my heart. And matter of fact, I've just got one little phrase in my heart I'll share with you this morning. And I hope it'll be a blessing and kind of set the theme and the atmosphere for the whole month of worshiping the Lord. In chapter 2 of the book of Luke, and it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now you think about God orchestrating things, and Brother Barry this morning was talking about how God orchestrated everything. This is the first taxing that has occurred that required people to leave their home areas and go back to the city of their heritage. And so here we see Joseph and Mary, who already know that Jesus is going to be born. The angel has spoken to Joseph and to Mary, and he who thought about maybe putting her away privately when they found out that she was with child. God spoke to him, assured her that holy thing conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. And so he's perfect part of God's plan as well. But it caused them to go to Bethlehem. Why? Because in the book of Micah, it says that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. I'm telling you right now, God worked through the government to get them to where they ought to be so Jesus could be born. That may be the only time God's used government, but I don't think so. I know he has. He raises up and he puts down. But here, God orchestrated all this. Nothing just happened. It was all in fulfillment of Scripture. And so they come to Bethlehem. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things in her and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I want you to look back at just pick out a little section of this wonderful statement and where he talks to them. Look at verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For just a few minutes this morning, I want to preach to you about joy born in Bethlehem. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, our Father, for this day. Thank you for Miss Cindy and the song that you laid on her heart. What amazing grace, God, we never ever can get over the fact that by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And Lord, thank you for the choir and the tour in that city. Our Father, because of grace and because of Lord Jesus Christ, we get to go to heaven to see that wonderful city, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. Our Father, we get to tour that city where, our Father, the wonder of that city will never, ever get old to us. And our Father, we'll be in a place of eternal bliss and joy for all eternity. And God, I thank you for the congregational singing. Thank you for Brother Jeff leading the music this morning, for Miss Juanita playing. Again, we lift to you Brad and April this morning, Miss Joan. Watch over and care for them and all the rest of those that are on the tours there. And I pray, God, you give them safe traveling mercies back home. Pray, Lord, we pray this morning once again for all of our shut-ins and all of those who join us by the means of internet this morning, as well as everyone in this building. Our Father, I count it a great joy to be able to bow before you this morning once again and acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. And God, you put this Lord thought in my heart, God, I pray that it fill every one of us as it has me for the last several days. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The angels came and he said to them the same thing he said to Elizabeth and to Zacharias, fear not. They were living in fearful times. And he said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I mean, good news. I've got good news for you. And it's about time for some good news because they have been in spiritual darkness for 400 years. From the close of the book of Malachi to the beginning of the book of Matthew, 400 times a period where there were no open prophecies, there were no prophets. They not heard from heaven. And evidently, they were not repentant. You remember in the book of Malachi when he's talking to them and challenging them about their disobedience. And he said, you offer to me lame offerings and blind and those that are marred. You offer that now to your governor and see if he'll accept that. In other words, they were given God second best. They put him on a back shelf. They had spent 70 years in captivity. And then under the Persians, they came back out. But in the book of Malachi, they're back in the land, but still under the domination of the Persian Empire. And then through those 400 years, there are several things that take place. And one, the ultimate, would be the rise of the Roman Empire. And when Jesus Christ and this begins and the Caesar makes decree to be taxed, they're under the domination of Rome. In other words, the nation of Israel is a puppet nation now. They have a Roman emperor ruling over them. They are all really held captive. Many have been taken out. Ultimately, in 70 AD, the city will be destroyed, and the temple, not one stone left upon another, and they're going to go scatter across the face of the earth. And they'll stay that way from 70 AD and shortly thereafter, that is 70 years after Christ was born, until 1946 when they came in and they were made a nation, 48. But God, the Holy Spirit, has done this for them. God has brought them back now. But now here in this time, after 400 years of darkness, he said, good news. I've got good news. It's about time for some good news. I'm telling you, we've been through COVID and flu and first one thing and another, and we're getting back to some sort of normalcy in our activities and everything going on. But it's about time for some good news. And I've got good news for you. It was good news that day when they came and said, Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem. And there was joy born in Bethlehem. I started to do my little thoughts this morning along this line. Look at verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, behold, I bring you. Notice that little phrase, good tidings, starts with a G. I love alliterated sermon. Good tidings. There was some good tidings. There was some good news. But then notice it says, of great joy. So there was great joy. Good news, great joy. And then look down a little further, verse 14. Glory to God. God got glory that day. So there's good news, and then there's great joy, and then there's good glory to God. And then notice in verse 14 a little further, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And there's another G. There's four G's in that. Good news, good tidings, great joy, and then there's glory to God, and then there's goodwill toward men. And all of that is encompassed in Christmas. But here's where he says there's great joy, and it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the great joy is at. And the great joy of Christmas, do I love this? You know I love this. I love all the decorations. I love having the family around. I love everything goes on at church around this time of the year. Tonight I'm looking forward to the ladies' circle at 5 o'clock, and then next week the children and all the special music that Brad will have and the choir will have and individuals will have about Christmas. I love Christmas. I just love the time. But the great joy is the tidings. It is the news. It's joy born in Bethlehem. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who came. And what a wonderful thing it is that he was born to come to us. It was good news that day. He said, I bring you good tidings, great joy. Good news it was then, but it is still the day. It is still the message to those who are in darkness and bondage. It's still the gospel. It is the good news that Jesus Christ has come and a Savior has been born. That's where the joy is at. The joy is in the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And thank God, David described it like this. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a solid rock. He put a new song into my heart, even praise to our God. That's the great joy of the uplifted out of the miry clay, the sitting on a solid rock and knowing the Savior. That's where the joy is at. And my dear friend, if you don't know Him, you don't have real joy. You can have it today. You can know real joy today. But He said there, here is the good tidings. Joy is born in Bethlehem. There is the good news, and there's the joy of prophecy fulfilled. Everything that happened around the birth of Christ, there are over 333 prophecies in the Old Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And a good many of them were fulfilled about His first coming, that is when He was born. The city, His virgin birth, all of those things were prophesied in the Old Testament. And it all is fulfillment of Scripture. And so when you come to the baptism and to the cross and to everything else, it's all a picture and it's all a fulfillment. And it's the great joy of the fulfillment of prophecy. Now you say, Brother Billy, what's so exciting about all that? Number one, it is excitement that God keeps His word. I'm telling you right now, you can trust Him. You can carry it to the bank. You may have good times. You may have bad times. You may have sickness or health. But He said to you that He'll provide your every need, and He'll do that. He said He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. He's able to do that. And He said He's praying that we'll be in heaven where He's at, and He'll do that. And so there's good news that God keeps His word. Listen, notice what it said. It is born unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior. Thank God for the good news. Not only is it a good news that prophecy has been fulfilled, but it's good news that salvation has been provided. Jesus Christ is salvation. He's the Savior. It's not a plan, but it's a man. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. And you can know Him. But if you don't know Him, you can be religious. I'm telling you, you could be examined by the general public and everything else, and you may be the best person. You may get all kind of awards for humanitarian efforts and kindness and this, that, and the other. But if you don't know Christ, you don't get to go to heaven. If nobody in this congregation who knows you personally could put one finger to accuse you of anything, yet the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But my dear friend, here's the good news, that pardon has been provided, salvation has been provided, and it's great joy. But why? You look at their history. He in that book of Malachi said, you've robbed me. You brought bad gifts and second gifts. You didn't put me first. You robbed me in tithes and offerings. He said, if you'll repent, if you'll bring the tithes and offering, I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you can't receive it. And evidently they didn't do it, because when Christ came, they were still in bondage and they were still going through the form and ritual, and it was still deadness. Christ described those scribes and Pharisees as whited sepulchres. They were like full of dead men's bones. They look white, they look good on the outside, but they were dead on the inside. He told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again by the grace of God. And so here's the good news, that salvation has been provided. We don't deserve it, we can't earn it, and it's by grace, but it is possible for you to go to heaven. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He that hath the Son hath life. And so there's the great joy of prophecy fulfilled, but it's the great joy of salvation provided. I mean, notice this, not only the provision of it, but notice something else, the people that can benefit from it. Notice what He said this. He said, verse 10, and the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. not just Jews, but Gentile, not just white, but red, yellow, black, and white, not just Americans, but people around the world, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue. It's good news to everybody. Everybody can be saved. Anybody can be saved. And listen, here's the great joy of that, that you don't have to have any kind of education. You don't have to have any kind of religious background. You don't have to meet any kind of criteria other than this, that you know you're lost and you know Jesus died to pay for your sin debt. Whosoever will may come. Thank God. Here's the joy. It's not by human effort. It's by His grace. And anybody can be saved. Here's the joy, my dear friend, of salvation provided, but the people that can be saved. It's all the people around the whole world. Oh, listen, but then what about this? The praise that is to be experienced and to rejoice in. Notice what it says about the shepherds as they go their way. It says this, and notice verse number 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. He said, this good news will be to everybody. And he said, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And they rejoiced and sang and testified at the birth of Christ. My dear friend, here's the joy that is to be experienced and to be expected. It is the praise that issues. Every person who gets saved not only has their sins forgiven, but the Holy Spirit of God comes into their heart crying, Abba, Father, and fills their heart with praise and adoration. He removes the guilt and the darkness, and He gives them joy and peace. Thank God for that. That's what this whole little story is about. This is what this historical account's all about, that salvation provided. And you can expect to have your sins forgiven, and you can expect to do that, and you can have that. But here's the wonderful thing about it. It says this in this passage of Scripture. This experience is not only possible for all men, but it is to be experienced personally. Notice what it said in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Now he's speaking to a group of people, but he's addressing them individually. You. Salvation is for you and for you and for you and for you. Christ died for you. It's a good thing to know He loved the whole world, died for them, but He did it for you. Put your name there. He died that you might have everlasting life. And this joy is personal. It is individually possible. And that's the great joy of it. You say, boy, this world is in a mess. Yeah, they are in a mess, but you don't have to be that way. You can have all your sins forgiven. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can have a home in heaven. That's His promise, and it's still the same. He hadn't changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, my dear friend, but then there is one last thing I share with you just real quickly. There's the joy of publishing that story. I tell you, there's no greater joy outside of your personal salvation than the joy of telling others. The shepherds came and they saw, and then they went and they told. And listen, there's a great joy in telling people about Jesus. You'll have some. Brother Jimmy witnesses all the time. He's telling me about somebody trying to give him a tract the other day, and they said they were atheists. And he said, well, I feel sorry for you, something to that effect, I'm praying for you. But then the next person said they went to rejoicing that they knew Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, you can be saved, and it's a great joy. But for you to be able to publish that story in this season and around the year, to tell somebody else about Christ, you get double blessed. You see them get blessed, but you get blessed as well. My dear friend, the greatest story ever told, the greatest truth that's still real today, is that joy was born in Bethlehem, and you can have that joy, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and joy. He said, these things have I spoken to you, that your joy might be full, and you can have real joy, because joy was born in Bethlehem. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed? So very, very simple this morning. But Lord, it's been in my heart all week long. And I said, Lord, you'll just have to help me. I just feel like getting up and just shouting, just saying, praise God. I'm glad for the joy He gave me. It's not something's got to be worked up. It's not something that I've got to kind of keep priming. But He put it in me. Boy, I'm glad I have joy way down deep in my heart. I'm glad that God gave me a joy that not does the world gives peace, but He gave me a peace that passed all understanding. But He said, these things have I spoken that your joy might be full. Oh, listen, you can have the fullness of joy this morning, but you've got to have Jesus to have Him. For unto you is born this day the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's a good crowd of people in the building this morning. We have a vast radio and media audience, but it's still a personal thing, you. He came for you. He lived a sinless life for you. He died a sacrificial death for you. He arose victorious out of the grave for you. He ascended back to the Father for you. There He anticipates your arrival because He's prayed, Father, I pray they might be where I am, they might behold my glory. Looking forward to that day to tour the city. But if you don't know Christ today, you have no real joy. Maybe God's been dealing with you through this week and you need Christ. I invite you to come this morning, bow around this old-fashioned altar. What do you do? What do you say? Brother Billy, what have I got to do to get saved? Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bible said, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. By faith, you believe that Jesus died for your sin, for you. He was buried, He rose again. You believe He's alive. Well, if you believe that, you call on Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believing, whoso believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. Will you believe this morning that He died for you? Are you willing by faith to ask Him to come in your heart and forgive you? You have everything to gain and nothing to lose by doing that. Can you do it right where you're seated? Can you do it in the media audience? Absolutely. I encourage you, if you're in this building, to come here and bow around this altar and let other people know that you trust in Christ. Once again, this morning, maybe you've been praying about a church home and you feel like this is where God wants you. We invite you to come and receive and move your membership or to come by statement if this is where God's put you. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Spirit of the living God would speak to hearts. Let me ask you to stand, please, while we're standing, every head bowed, every eye closed, continually. And I invite you to come this morning. This morning He's going to play something for us. And we'll give a brief invitation. Number one, as we did in the Thanksgiving season, maybe you want to slip around this altar. What a blessing a while ago to hear Brother Barry say once again that it's not them, but it's what Christ has done. And because of what He did for us, we do what we do.